You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Damon Martin, MMA Fighting here with Kevin Holland, the man of the hour who always steps up when needed. What do they say? Call Big Mouth? Big Mouth answers. Kevin, welcome back, man. How's everything?
Going pretty good, brother. It's going pretty good.
So, So give me a sense, man. How did this whole thing come together? It seemed obviously last minute, of course. Darren Till falls out with a broken collarbone. You immediately jumped in and said you'll take the fight. So was it that easy? Like, how did this whole thing come together?
Yeah, it's that simple. You know, it's like they say they need somebody. I'm there. It's part of being a company man.
How is it? I mean, obviously coming out of the last fight, and I'll get back to that in a second. Like, in terms of like feel, in terms of your body, your health, like how are you feeling coming out of that? I assume you must have been feeling pretty good to be able to take a fight like this on short notice.
This is what we do for a living. We do it for a reason. It's my job. It's what I was made for. Win, lose, or draw. I'm a fighter. Fight every weekend if you need me to.
Yeah. It's funny. When we talked before the Brunson fight, I remember you telling me, you're like, the timing, you know, you wanted to fight sooner. You're kind of the guy who likes to stay busy, stay active, and I know you're not one to make any excuses, but, like, do you feel like this is almost, in a weird way, the Kevin Holland situation, like stepping up, short notice, 1 week away, main event, like it almost feels like this is what you're built for.
Yeah, that's what I do. I step in, you know, every single time. You know, it's part of being who I am, you know. It's just what I do. It's how I was raised. You know what I mean? Family raised a hardworking man. I'm a hardworking man.
I know you had expressed after the last fight the possibility of, you know, maybe test yourself at welterweight, which I know that would be a weight cut and getting down to that weight. But how, like, in terms of, like, this fight, like, was this just better opportunity in terms of timing? Like, obviously getting a guy like Marvin Vettori on short notice. Is the welterweight thing still possible?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. You know, it's like I used to fight at 170 pounds. I didn't know how to cut weight back then. I'm learning how to cut weight now. It's like it's definitely possible. You know, I wouldn't say it if it wasn't. You know, it's like a fight came up short notice. You guys needed somebody to step in. I stepped in. You know, had I not stepped in, you guys wouldn't have a main event for this card. What do you guys want? You want a main event for the card or you want no main event for the card? You want a main event for the card, so therefore I stepped in. There's no science behind this.
So let me backtrack, Kevin, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you after the last one. I mean, listen, it is what it is. Losses happen. And it's what's crazy to me about that fight is everyone saying, oh, what did Kevin do wrong? Well, he's talking too much. Dana is saying he had a mental breakdown. At what point do we actually give credit to Derek Brunson for just doing a good job?
I've done that the whole time. I've done that the whole time. Every time you listen to an interview or anything I've said after the fight, I said props to Derek Brunson. He went out there with a good game plan and did what he was supposed to do. And it's like I'm not one for excuses. Never have. Never will. You know, somebody gets the job done, they get the job done. He did a good job.
Yeah. Does it bug you when that is the narrative after a fight, that it was again, you were on a good streak. Obviously, we know what kind of fighter you are. And listen, I understand things happen. You may make a mistake or what. And I understand that's part of the game. But again, it feels like it's kind of robbing him of a victory by just, you know, everyone's trying to find out, like, why you lost. You know what I mean?
No, it's not robbing him of victory, because at the end of the day, they're all trying to find out why I lost, because they know. 9 times out of 10, I'm supposed to beat the guy. I guess he just found the 10th time. So You know, it's like it's nothing wrong with them wanting to know what was going on with quote unquote one of their favorite fighters. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's like at the end of the day, you thought Derek Brunson was supposed to beat me? No. So, you know, it's like, of course, you're going to ask, what was going on with you that night? You know, props to Derek Brunson. He did what he was supposed to do that night. But, you know, it's like, come do that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Or continue to hold me the whole night until eventually you're not tired of holding me anymore. Then we got to fight, and then I'm going to beat the crap out of you. He did a good job. Props to him.
Yeah. Is it funny that, you know, one of the reasons that we all loved watching you, you know, go out there and do your thing. Like when you fought Jacare, you're literally you're on the ground with Jacare Souza and you're talking to him while you got him in your guard, and then 2 seconds later you knock him out and everyone's, you know, raving and saying, oh my god, this guy's crazy, he's wild, such a fun guy to watch. You do the exact same thing against Brunson, it just doesn't go your way, and suddenly there's a problem. You know what I mean? Like I kind of hate that narrative, like suddenly there's a problem. You lost the fight. It happens. I mean, you're a veteran. You know that. You told me that before the fight. You're like, hey, losses are part of the sport. I've lost before. I'll probably lose again, but you like winning better.
Yeah, winning's always fun. Two checks, you know, more girls in your inbox. Winning's always better.
So now, can I expect on Saturday night on ABC, by the way, when we're all going to be on network TV, that we're going to see the same Kevin Holland we've always seen? That you're not going to try to reinvent the wheel because you lost one fight?
Reinvent the wheel? No. I wasn't trying to reinvent the wheel ever. You're going to see me go out there and work. The job is to work, you know? I'm going to go out there and work. I won't let somebody lay and pray. So if you're laying and praying, you know, I just got to move. You know, no resting, you know? So that's it, you know? I just got to work. Just got to work.
I know how you are. I know how you are with, you know, pretty much every opponent. You're not the kind of guy to, like, sit here and, you know, break down footage or anything. But did you like the matchup with Marvin Vettori? Or was this more just about the opportunity in terms of stepping into a main event and getting another fight?
Oh, I told you earlier, my man. There's no science behind this stuff. There's no science whatsoever. You guys needed a main event. You needed somebody to step up and fight. I'm doing that.
What do you think of Marvin?
I think he's a meathead who learned how to fight, and therefore it'll be a good exchange.
Now, when you look at Marvin, at least for his last few fights, he obviously has seemed a lot more willing to strike with guys. Now, credit to him for, you know, getting the submission over Carl Roberson, but he typically is seen more as a striker. He did that a lot against Jack Hermanson, and he's not, you know, typically the guy's going to go out and try to wrestle you, things like that. But what do you, like, don't give away game plan. I think we all know what you're going to try to do, but like, what do you expect out of Marvin in this fight?
I expect him to try what seems to work. You know, it's like, I expect him to do what's in the human nature. You know, it's like, do what you think works. So, you know, it's like, whatever you guys think works, that's what he's going to try and do. You know, I lost my last fight a certain way. So obviously everybody thinks that works. So that's what they're going to try and do. It's like, it's simple. It's simple. It's very simple. I'm just going to fight, you know, it's like, I hear you. I feel you. I smell you. But I'm just going to fight, you know, just simply going to fight.
Yeah. I know that Marvin, and if you ever pay attention to any of Marvin's interviews, like Marvin, you know, obviously gets pretty amped up before his fights. Obviously, I know he has a bit of a rivalry with certain guys, and he kind of feeds off emotion. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think certain people, you know, feed off emotion and it does good for them. Other people try to feed off emotion and it kind of backfires. Obviously, you are a guy who will, you know, have fun in there, and you don't mind getting into your opponent's head before or during the fight. Even, do you feel like that mental edge could be an advantage for you in this fight?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, it's like, yeah, it could be, you know, it's like, we'll see what happens, you know, when I actually get there. Everybody says fight week starts when the week starts. Fight week don't start till you get there. You know what I mean? It's time to do the job. So, I mean, we'll see. The way I look at it is, you know, I want to see what Marvin can do fighting-wise. I'm not worried about his mental and his this and that and his this and that. I want to fight, you know? And it's like, I don't know if everybody's catching that drift. You know, you guys went big mouth last time. I did all that talking and then everybody complained. So this time, I'm going to fight. So just be happy I'm going to fight.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. when we talked before the fight, I remember mentioning to you, you know, I said, hey, a win, you know, you're one of the only guys out there that, that you know, in terms of where you're at in the division, that a win would put you right near a title shot. And I know you're one of the only guys who hasn't fought Adesanya. And I know you mentioned before, you know, you wanted to fight Adesanya, but that really didn't have as much to do with the title as much as just a fight you won. And you told me the title really, it's not one of those things that you think about. You're sitting there obsessing over like some people. You just like fighting. Is that kind of a benefit? Like, at what point do we start paying attention to the things you tell us, Kevin? Because everyone's making a big deal out of everything that happens, and you keep trying to tell us, you know, hey, I just like fighting, I just like stepping up and fighting, I just like taking these short notice fights and fighting. At what point do we start paying attention and actually believing what you're telling us?
You know, that is a very, very good question. I don't think you guys ever do. You know, it's like... I don't think anybody ever listens to Kev. You know, that's what happens when you got that big mouth persona. Everybody thinks we're just talking just to talk. So, you know, it's perfectly fine. They just think I'm talking just to talk, and then there'll be a few smart people that look and read in between the lines, and then it is what it is. But at the end of the day, goals and dreams change every day, so you never know truly know what a person wants until they get to the end of the road and they got what they've gotten. And then they can tell you, hey, I wish I could have got this, or I wish I could have got that. So don't pay no attention to the things that I say. Just... enjoy the shit that comes out of my mouth sometimes, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious. I hear this a lot. Anytime, you know, I talk to certain guys or girls, you know, when you deal with a loss, you know, obviously you always have to worry about health, things like that. But outside of that, most people tell me, hey, after a loss, I want to get right back in there. I want to get that win. I want to get that bad taste of defeat out of my mouth. Now, you're a guy who steps up regardless, win, loss, whatever. But is there a little extra motivation for a fight like this with that? Just, you know, wanting to get that bad taste, that last fight out of your mouth?
I just like to fight. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like that's one thing that'll never change. I love to fight. I want to get the bad taste out of whose mouth? Out of the people who believe in me mouth? Yeah. The people who have something negative to say or always got something to say and they don't do shit but sit on the couch? I don't really care. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it's like they don't really bother me. They don't pay my bills. You know, the people who pay my bills, the people who lives I truly affect, not the people who's just betting a couple dollars on me because they're trying to get rich off my name. Not those people. The true people, that's what I care about. Other than that, I don't really care. You know, it's like, you have to be close to me for me to care. And a lot of these people ain't that close to me. A lot of these people don't pay my bills. A lot of these people don't have nothing that I care that's invested into me. So it's like, I don't know. You know, it's like, appreciate the people for tuning in, but I don't know. You know, it's like they tune in for a good show. I gave you a good show and you still complain.
Yeah, this is a card taking place on ABC, which is a cool thing. It's a weird kind of middle of the afternoon card, but we are coming to the end of the pandemic era with cards. We're starting to see fights back with arenas and fans, and I feel like one thing that we did appreciate in the empty arenas was the Kevin Holland era, where we actually got to hear what you were saying throughout the fight. It was one of the benefits of not having a crowd there. I know this is one of the last ones without a crowd. Are you going to miss that? Are you going to miss that atmosphere where we actually got to hear everything you got to say, or are you going to be excited to see the crowds again?
Man, you know, I gave you guys Big Mouth when you needed Big Mouth. You know what I mean? I gave you guys entertainment during a pandemic when things were bad, and I cared more about probably entertaining you guys than I should have cared about just going out there collecting the check and getting the win. And it's like. I don't want the ones who truly love Big Mouth to not love it anymore, because I'm still going to talk. You know what I mean? I'm a talker. And Jabba Jaws is always going to run his mouth. But I'll be happy when the people come back, because, you know, they can just appreciate a good old-fashioned ass-whooping. And that's what I'm looking forward to, forward and deliver, a good old-fashioned ass-whooping. Go deliver a few of those, and the people will be happy. So bring the people back. We need the people. We need that energy. We need the boos. We need the yays. We need the nays. We need the hays. We need them all back. You know what I mean? We need hot girls in the crowd. And guys with big bellies throwing beers at us. We need it back. Bring it back, baby. I miss it.
With that being said, Kevin, it's kind of funny. We live in this sport where, unfortunately, I say unfortunately because I really don't like it, is that, you know, everything in this sport is built upon what have you done for me lately. You win one fight, you are the greatest fighter in the world. Oh, my God, you're going to be the champion, all this stuff. You lose one fight, suddenly you're a bum. But, you know, you were never that good to begin with. I hate that mentality. But coming back out of the last one, like, because you strike me as a guy who doesn't let that kind of stuff affect you. Am I wrong?
No, it just doesn't bother me. You know, it's like I got a lot of other things to worry about than just those fans who – love you when you win and hate you when you lose, you know. And so, like I said before, it's the people who pay the bills, and it's the people who are truly there and that truly care. Those are the ones that matter. Other than that, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's like I get a lot of interviews right before I'm about to fight. You know what I'm saying? I get a lot of those. A lot of the media guys are like, man, Kevin Holland's really fun. But they only hit me up right before the fight. You know what I mean? I got a few that right after I lose and stuff, they'll message me and be like, bro, tough loss, you know, yada, 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 yada. I love those guys. You know, good energy, great energy all the way around. You know, so it's like, that's kind of like a lesson and a thing that happens with people all the way around. There are certain people that reach out to you when you're doing bad, and there are certain people that only reach out to you when you're doing good. Those people that only reach out to you when you're doing good, why worry about them? Worry about those people that reach out to you no matter what.
Yeah, ride or die, right?
Ride or die, you know what I mean? So, you gotta learn when to give the fire and when not to give the fire. You gotta learn when to do your thing and when not to do your thing. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely. Yeah. Before I let you go, I know that if there was one downside of the Brunson fight, it was the timing. You had to wait for that fight and wait for that main event to come around. I know you're a guy who likes to stay active. You get fight number two right now, obviously right after the last one. Is there still a possibility of 5 or 6 fights for you this year? Do you think that's still in the possibility?
We're already at 2 and we're 4 months in. It has to be a possibility, right? One every other month. It has to be a possibility. There's 12 months in the year, and if I'm fighting one every other month, that's 6 fights this year. I may not be able to go 6-0, but, I mean, 5-1. Guess I'm knocking out 5 wins every year. Let's go.
I love it. Kevin, thank you as always for taking the time. I know literally you're leaving for Vegas and everything, so I appreciate you doing this. Obviously, best of luck in the fight. You know, I always enjoy catching up with you, man. So best of luck this weekend, and let's chat afterwards, all right?
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.